Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him. And the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man." And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "Friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who exalts himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You probably know the story that when St. Bernard was asked what are the three most important virtues, he replied, "Humilitas, humilitas, humilitas." Really is absolutely central to the Christian life, not to mention the consecrated life. And in this year of consecrated life, it's an opportunity for us to really ponder and be renewed in humility. God has willed that all of us be celebrated on November 1st eventually. That's His will. But in order for us to be so exalted, as one of the saints at His eternal, gloriously scarred right side, we need to be humble. And humility is hard. And because it's hard, God's going to send us lots of gifts precisely to make us humble. Difficult circumstances, illnesses, fellow companions in the convent or the rectory or the job office or whatever. But the Lord wants our humility. He wills our humility precisely because He wills our sanctity. And the quicker we grasp that and cooperate with that, the easier everything's going to be. And the speed of the Lord's work of sanctification will happen. Today Jesus gives this parable, which is not fundamentally about earthly strategy to be exalted in the face of others, but it talks about an entire spirituality, an entire way of living the Christian life, which is patterned on Him who, even though He was equal to God, didn't behave that way. In fact, He took on the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of us, obediently accepting death, even the most ignominious death of all on the cross. And it was thus that He was exalted, and before whom from that point forward every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and call Him Lord. And in this path of humility, Jesus turns to each of us with great faith, trust, and love and says, "Come follow me." When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, don't recline at table in the place of honor. Don't seek earthly distinctions. Rather, seek the lowest places so that the host will come and say, "Amice, ascende superius." Friend, come up higher. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. The one who exalts himself, humbles himself, will be exalted. This is a spirituality. I ponder quite a bit St. Teresa's advice to one of her novices, which is that when she came to St. Teresa and said, "When I think about all the things that I have to do in order to be able to please God and become holy. It's overwhelming, and Saint Therese, with her great simplicity, the simplicity that made her a doctor of the church, so that all of us might profit from how doctor she was, how learned she was in the ways of the spiritual life, just said, mountains you must climb, things you must do. It's in fact letting God do, and not climbing a mountain, but going down into the valley, that holiness happens not through addition, but through subtraction. And that subtraction happens along that valley of humility. That's the way forward. To go low so that we might be exalted. How do we go low? First thing we go low is in our prayer. First thing we always do as Catholics is pray. So how do we go low in our prayer? First is through humbly asking for God's help, asking for God's forgiveness. And when we pray with various petitions, we begin with the petitions of intercession. We begin by praying for others, exalting others before the Lord. The more we pray like that, the more we will live like that. Next is through daily interaction, where we're constantly looking at every opportunity as an opportunity genuinely to serve, to take a lower place, and exalt someone as if the person were our superior, as if the person were, in fact, Jesus Christ, who comes to us in a disguise. The more we see things that way and respond, the more we look at every day as a series of caresses by the Lord to help us to become humble, the faster that descent into the valley will happen. Third way is by accepting what the Lord sends over the course of the day as opportunities to grow in humility. Because the Lord has a one-track mind, or a two-fold track mind, we could say, our sanctification and having us cooperate as his instruments in the sanctification of others, because he's so focused on that, he's going to give us plenty of opportunities to grow in humility. And as we grow in humility, to grow in that capacity to serve others. So we can think just about yesterday. We can think about the last week. We can think about the hardships that have come, the various sort of little things in which we were tempted to have that battle between old Adam and new Adam. All of them were opportunities for us to open ourselves up humbly to say, okay, I choose to serve. If the path toward hell is that ugly, diabolical cry, non serviam, the path to heaven is humbly to say, serviam, I will serve, I will do it. I'll fight not for the seat at table, I'll fight for the towel to wash the feet of everyone at that table. This is the gospel. But it's a word not just to be heard, but to be done. And the Lord constantly sends the Holy Spirit so that we might, in fact, do it. And when we fail, and we will, over and over and over again, when we fail, it's an even greater opportunity for us to grow in humility by going and saying, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I'm a failure. Let me recount the ways. Because every time we do that, the Lord's able in that humility to exalt us by his mercy so that we're much stronger than we would have been had we never fallen. St. Paul was one who grasped these lessons. As a Pharisee, he had initially just tried to excel over all his brothers, excel as a student. He was the great student of the greatest rabbi, Gamaliel. He had tried to build it up by all his own works. But eventually, the Lord led him on a totally different path. The Lord led him on that path of humility. He was blinded for a few days, and he needed to fast out all the old leaven that had moved him so that the Lord would be able to just say, we're going to wash you in the waters of baptism. And something far greater is going to happen to you than happened in Naaman. He needed to grow in humility. And so he went back as a tent maker in Tarsus for a while, as if he weren't really needed. And he accepted it, and he just sanctified his work, making tents for others to come on in, even though Caritas Christi urgebat eum. The love of Christ was still urging him on, but very patiently he was waiting for the Lord to summon him. And when he was summoned, that was the path of great humility. He was thrown out of many synagogues. In his old days, he would have approached those situations with pride. But the old man was dying in him. He grew to become so humble over the course of time that the Lord helped him to see that he was strongest when he was weakest. He was most exalted when he was most humble, so that he'd be able to proclaim, "When I am weak, it is then I am strong, because I can do all things in him who strengthens me." That when he had begged the Lord to take away that thorn, whatever it was it malaria that led him to want to rip out his eyeballs? Was it a temptation to the flesh? We don't know. When he begged the Lord, not once, not twice, but three times, to take away that scallops in the Greek, the Lord just replied, "Gratia mea satis." My grace is sufficient for you. It's enough. That he had become so humble because of everything that was occurring. But it was then that the Lord was able to do such incredible stuff. He became so humble that what would have been one of the most difficult things of all became possible, which was his relationship to his fellow Jews. Many of his fellow Jews were conspiring to get him murdered, the same way that some of his brothers and sisters, according to the flesh of Abraham, had sought and conspired to kill the Lord Jesus. But as we heard yesterday and have heard repeated today, St. Paul said, "I would rather be anathema. I would rather be condemned if it could save my spiritual siblings." He'd become so humble that he would give his own life as a holocaust to save those who were trying to murder him. And not just them, but all the other good Jews whom he likewise knew and loved. He was willing humbly to serve them all by this. And this is what these chapters 9 through 11 of the letter to the Romans are all about, the salvation of the Jews. And as he enters into the mystery of how it is that the Lord could choose a people and prepare them through a succession of covenants, intensifying the more previous ones, from Noah's covenant to Abraham's covenant to the covenant with Moses to the covenant with David, how the Lord had prepared them for the Messiah. And then the great mystery that when the new and eternal covenant that would bring all of that to fulfillment had come, that when the Messiah had finally arrived, the vast majority of the Jews who had been prepared would reject the covenant in flesh who was Jesus. How is it? And why would God have permitted that? God who could see all things, how could that fit into his plan? And he wrestled with it. He spent so much time wrestling, and the letter to the Romans was really his mature thought in the matter. We only get 2 days of these 3 chapters in this 4-month study of the letter to the Romans, but they're important. Basically, in summary, he says, God permitted it so that by the Jews' rejection, the gospel would be taken more hastily to the Gentiles. And then, he said, through the way the Gentiles would enter into the covenant by faith, as spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham, by the way that they would live out the fulfillment of all that God had revealed to the Jews, that the Jews likewise would see God's mercy on the Gentiles, open themselves up to true mercy in the Messiah, and then everything would be reconciled to the glory of God. And he finished, we won't hear it unfortunately, with that one of the most beautiful parts of sacred scripture. Oh, the beauty of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how inscrutable his judgments, how unsearchable his ways. We can only just respond with wonder that God would do this, but it was through the humiliation that Jesus suffered, through the humiliation that we suffer, that the gospel was taken to others. And through those peoples receiving the gospel in that way, it's able to be a mirror back to those who had originally rejected it, to see what they were missing, the power of the fulfillment, and then they would cry out for mercy and all could be reconciled. Today we're celebrating the votive mass of Our Lady Mother of Mercy. She is the one who, as a faithful Jew until the end, as the faithful daughter of Zion, like St. Paul, like her son, would give everything for the salvation of her fellow Jews, not to mention all her spiritual sons and daughters. She is the one who is the greatest illustration of today's gospel, where she, in becoming so low, was exalted above every other creature. And her Magnificat continues to resonate throughout the church. Ecce humilitatem ancillae suae. He has beheld the humility of his maidservant. From this generation, from this day all generations will call me blessed. For the Lord, the Almighty, has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He exalts the humble, and those on the high thrones he ruins. Today, let us ask her to pray for us, to make us like her true, humble, ancillae domini, handmaids of the Lord, servants of the Lord, so that through that service, others might see Christ, the servant, working in us, effectuating his plan of mercy, so that they'll notice what they've been missing, come to beg for it, and follow us down into that valley where we'll meet the Good Shepherd who will lead us all the way to the celestial Jerusalem with the saints whom we will celebrate tomorrow. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.